this man is really, really motivated to speak the truth about what it means to be a rapper coming from the time period that he did, emerging from the 80s. And he grew up in the early 80s and started making music in the late 80s. Around 88, I think, is when he actually started producing. And ever since then, he's just taken off and he's gotten better. And that was a sample from back when Scott LaRock was even to school. So I hope everyone had a good break and everything went well. So I just want to get into the show right away. I have a lot to say about these three artists that I want to introduce to you all. And I'm excited, so let's get right to it. To start my show off today, I'm going to talk about one of hip-hop's most influential rappers in the history of the culture, and who still continues to be a voice for the underground movement today, even at the age of 48. His name is Lawrence Krishna Parker, and he was born on August 20th, 1965 in the Bronx. At the age of 13, Parker ran away from home and decided to live on the streets. Talk about being independent. I mean, usually that doesn't happen. Kids don't usually get away with that, but he was able to do that, and he became really self-motivated, and he started teaching himself how to read books on philosophy and history and religion, and he would end up practicing how to rap at the homeless shelters at night where he stayed. So at an early age, he really found himself. It's pretty amazing. And at 17, Parker got his GED, so that's before, or right around when teenagers get their actual high school diplomas, but he was able to get his GED anyway without even going to school, so that's another amazing fact about him. Lawrence Parker is better known by his stage name as KRS-One, which is an acronym that stands for Knowledge Reigns Supreme Over Nearly Everyone. And so as a kid and teenager, he would do a lot of graffiti and tag that name, and that's how he became known to the social worker and weekend DJ named Scott LaRock. And together they created the label called Boogie Down Productions in 1987. But unfortunately, a year later, Scott LaRock was murdered, and KRS-One was kind of left on his own, but he still made music with his brother, and he continued Boogie Down Productions' legacy and released 6 albums under the name. So clearly he was always self-motivated, but he definitely took his own destiny into his hands, and I think that's really cool. So after his career with Boogie Down Productions, he kind of went on his solo career in 1993, and he released his first studio album called The Return of the Boom Rap. And since then, he released 13 studio albums. And I don't really consider him your ordinary hip-hop artist, because he's more of a living legend to me and a lot of people who listen to underground hip-hop. He's never been afraid to expose the truth and raises the bar when it comes to lyrically-based hip-hop. And I mean, he really sets the bar. He doesn't just raise it. He really sets the bar. A lot of artists, particularly ones that are more lyrically interested than just pushing out music with, you know, a beat that slaps and some lyrics that go with it. His main focus has always been on the lyrics and the content of his songs. So that's why he's inspired and kept real hip-hop culture alive, which is how it really started. It's always been lyrically and poetically centered, so he continues to keep that alive today, actually, and it's pretty amazing what he can do. He released his only compilation album in 2000, and it was called A Retrospective. It samples songs from his career with Boogie Down Productions, but also his solo career. And the song that I'm going to be playing for you next is off this compilation album. I picked this album because it actually has a lot of songs were produced by Scott LaRock in that time before he was murdered. And I think the role that he played in KRS-One's life was really, really big, because he basically helped KRS-One get to his feet, and now he's basically running, taking the rap game with him. So without further ado, I wanna play a song from this A Retrospective album. The artist is KRS-One, and the song is called My Philosophy. So I hope you guys enjoy.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes. 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 Yes.
I think very deeply. I think very deeply. I think very deeply. I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
Let us begin. What, where, why, or when? We'll all be explained like instructions to a game. See, I'm not insane. In fact, I'm kind of rational. When I'm asking you, who is more dramatic, this one or that one? The white one or the black one? Black the punk and I'll jump up to attack one. KRS-One is just the guy to lead a crew. Right up to your face and diss you. Everyone saw me on the last album cover. Holding a pistol, something far from a lover. Beside my brother, S-C-O-T-T. I just laugh, cause no one can defeat me. This is lecture number 2, my philosophy. Number 1 was poetry, you know it's me. You know it's my philosophy, many artists gotta learn. I'm not flammable, I don't burn. So please stop burning and learn to earn respect. Cause that's just what K.R. collects. See, what do you expect when you rhyme like a soft punk? You walk down the street and get jumped. You gotta have style.
Original,
and everybody's gonna wanna diss you. Like me, we stood up for the South Bronx, and every sucker MC had a response. You think we care? I know that they are on the tip. My posse from the Bronx is thick, and we're real life, we roll correctly. A lot of suckers would like to forget me, but they can't, cause like a champ, I have got a record of knocking out the frauds in a second. On the mic, I believe that you should get loose. I haven't come to tell you I got you.
A teacher will begin to speak.
I play the 9 and you play the target. You all know my name, so I guess I'll just start it. Or should I say start this? Start this. I'm the artist. Often new concepts that they're hardest. Yo, cause I'm a teacher and Scott is a scholar. It ain't about money, cause we all make dollars. That's why I walk with my head up. When I hear whack rhymes, I get fed up. Rappers like a setup. A lot of games. A lot of suckers with colorful names. I'm so and so. Just wick, wick, whack, wick, whack. I'm not white or red or black, I'm brown. From the Boogie Down Productions, of course, our music be thumping. Others say they're bad, but they're bugging. Let me show you something now about hip hop. About D-Nice, Melody, and Scott LaRock. I get a pen, a pencil, a marker. Mainly what I write is for the average New Yorker. Some MCs be talking and talking, trying to show how black people are walking. But I don't walk this way to portray or and drug selling.
Drug selling.
I'm telling and teaching pure facts. The way some act in rap is kind of whack and it lacks creativity and intelligence. But they don't care because their company's selling it. It's my philosophy on the industry. Don't bother dissing me or even wishing we soften, dilute, or commercialize all the lyrics. Because it's about time one of y'all hear it and hear it firsthand from an intelligent brown man. A vegetarian, no goat or ham or chicken or turkey or hamburger. To me, that's suicide, self-murder. Let us get back to what we call hip-hop and what it meant to DJ Scott LaRock.
You're a philosopher?
Yes, I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
How many MCs must get dissed before somebody says don't with Chris? This is just one style out of many. Like a piggy bank, this is one penny. My brother's name is Kenny. That's Kenny.
Okay, guys, we're back. All right, so now segueing into the second part of my show, I want to talk about a band that actually, I'm going to play two songs by this band because they have such a unique style, and I want to kind of show that diversity of style that they were able to create. It's hard to really categorize this band to a particular genre because really you can categorize them as a rock band because they use the usual rock instruments like a guitar, drums, and bass, but the sound that they created is so unique, and it's heavily influenced on ska, punk, reggae, new wave, and hip-hop. And honestly, I think they have their own kind of style to it, and the band is called Sublime, and I think I think you can actually use Sublime, the word Sublime, to describe their style, because it really is a kind of Sublime kind of style. It can't really be compared to. This band originated in Long Beach, California, and the original band members consisted of lead vocalist and guitarist Bradley Noel and childhood friends Eric Wilson, who played bass, and drummer Bud Gao, who formed the group in 1988. The different band members brought different influences. For example, Gao and Wilson kind of brought the punk influence into the band, but Noel, who was older than them, and he dropped out of Santa Cruz, UC Santa Cruz, and when they got together, he showed the band music that was more related to ska and reggae and even hip-hop. So it's hard to call them underground necessarily in respect to the kind of messages they portrayed, because they weren't all about being anti-establishment or anti-industry. The kind of music that they focused on was more focused on just being free, like living freely, having a freedom of expression, and not being controlled by corporate music labels. And they didn't really necessarily put that in the messages of their lyrics, but you could tell that this band wanted to be free, and they were successful at it. They had creative control their whole career, and hence the creation of their own independent record label called Skunk Records. They released 3 studio albums, and they released their first album under Skunk Records, and eventually they grew to be a lot bigger, but only 3 studio albums, and these guys became worldwide famous. And before the band disbanded in 1996, after frontman Bradley Noel died of a heroin overdose, they basically broke up. And well, I'll get into what they're doing later after I play the songs, but the first song that I want to play is off their debut album called 40 Ounces to Freedom, and the song is called KRS-One, which is ties in perfectly with the first song that I picked, because the artist was KRS-One. And really, Sublime is kind of known for calling, or not calling out, but respecting the artists who inspired them to make music. And so they kind of give a shout out to a lot of artists in their songs. And the second song that's going to come right after KRS-One is called What I Got, and that's probably one of their most famous songs. But it reached number 1 on the modern rock chart, and it's off their definitely their most successful album, which is their 3rd and self-entitled album, and it went platinum 6 times worldwide. So in memory of Brad Noel and the success of this unique band, I want to introduce to you the legendary band Sublime. First song is KRS-One, and the second one will be What I Got. Enjoy.
Thank you. type about hamburgers or steak. Elijah Muhammad or the welfare state. But I know. And I know because of KRS-One. Yeah, and I know. And I know because of KRS-One. Because he's dropping, dropping, dropping science, chopping history with a whole leap of style and intelligence. Yes, I know. And I know because of KRS-One. Yeah, and I know. And I know. Same old sound. Watching will take hip hop to a higher ground. Cause I know. How do I know? And I know because of KRS-One. Yeah, and I know.
Welcome back to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. You just heard The Sound of Sublime. The first song was called KRS-One, and the following was called What I Got. I really hope you enjoyed that, because I know I did, and they have always been an inspiration to me just because of the unique sound that they've created together, just fusing all these different genres of music and making it their own. And that really made them unique, and I think they deserve their own kind of genre, to be honest. Sublime was a band that was heavily influenced by so many artists. I'm just going to name off a whole bunch, and they come from all different genres. But they've been influenced by Bob Marley, Born Jamaicans, The Beatles, The Ziggins, Jimi Hendrix, N.W.A., Big Drill Carr, Minor Threat, Frank Zappa, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and there's just so many more I can name, but don't really have time to name all of them. I mean, it's pretty much anything you could think of. And after the band fell apart, when Brad Noel died, he basically left Wilson and God to the band, but they decided to basically end it, and for 13 years they were kind of on a hiatus. And recently they actually reformed around 2009, and they reformed with a singer and guitarist named Rome Ramirez. And they couldn't really name themselves Sublime because Noel had the rights to the name, and after some legal struggle, they just decided to go with Sublime with Rome. And they only released one album in 2011 called Yours Truly. And a couple months later, the drummer Ga, he resigned, and now the band is just left with Roman Wilson. But I don't know if they plan to make any more music in the future or anything like that. It's only two guys, so it's possible. But really, my emphasis is on the Sublime that we all know, the Sublime from the 90s, and their legacy is going to live on till the end of time, I think, just because I don't think anyone can really match that kind of sound. And it's that creativity that I think deserves a spot in the underground music, because it inspires creativity and being yourself instead of just focusing and being a part of one specific genre. I don't really appreciate that kind of... I mean, I appreciate it. There's always room, and there's always that kind of respect for the, you know, pure genre. But I really appreciate the sound of a mix and the kind of collaboration of genres that come together to create something unique. And before I get into the third segment on my show, I'm just going to have a little segment on some world news. At the moment, actually, President Barack Obama has announced a new round of sanctions against 20 Russians on Thursday. Well, today. And this is off HuffingtonPost.com. And he's also... He's announced sanctions on a number of members that are even close to Russian President Vladimir Putin. And this is kind of because some of the government leaders, like Ivanov and Putin's chief of staff, who is Putin's chief of staff, and the head of the presidential administration directorate, Vladimir Kozin, they basically are worth a lot of money, and the sanctions are to kind of expose the fact that Putin might be getting money on the side. And the claims say that, well, according to the company website, the company being Mr. Gennady Timchenko, is the website said, anticipating potential economic sanctions, so to ensure with certainty the continued and uninterrupted operations of Governor Group Lieutenant's activities, the shares of the company held by Mr. Gennady Timchenkov were sold on March 19th from his personal holding vehicle to Mr. Torbjörn Tornquist personally. And Tornquist has become the majority owner of Governor Group Lieutenant with 87% stake in the company. And they claim that 13% of shares are held by senior employees of Governor, and there are no outside shareholders. But the company said the date of the sale was Wednesday before the sanctions were announced, but further sanctions were widely expected. So that's what's happening right now. And obviously we can tell that the tensions between Russia and the United States are kind of tightening, and I don't exactly know what's going to happen between these countries and pretty much the rest of Europe basically right now. It seems like Russia is kind of sliding back into their Soviet Union days where they want to expand, and I mean, with the whole Ukraine issue, I think it's pretty evident that Russia wants to establish their dominance in the world, and the United States is trying to hold them in check. So there's definitely going to be more news coming out this week about this whole issue. But now I just want to kind of end my show with the final segment, get into some reggae. And I want to play a song by an artist who helped form Bob Marley and the Wailers. And he's actually one of the core members of the group. He also had a very successful solo career, and that's kind of how he's more known, because Bob Marley was the front man for Bob Marley and the Wailers, obviously. And when he broke out into his solo career, he definitely made a name for himself. He was born as Winston Herbert McIntosh on October 19th, 1944, in Grand Chill, Jamaica. But his parents were too young to raise him, so he was taken in by his aunt. And when his aunt died at the age of 15, he basically moved to the poor area of Kingston, Jamaica, and he needed to get money on his own, so he started selling sugarcane juice on the streets. And he would basically roam the streets and watch all the street musicians play, and it basically came down to him watching this acoustic guitarist play this song for basically all day. And he just learned just by watching this guitarist play. He learned the song and then asked if he could play it back to him, and he did. And that kind of dedication just amazes me. It reminds me of KRS-One, just kind of that self-made musician and artist. He also taught himself the keyboard, and he got into percussion and even the violin, but that was later on. And when he formed the Wailers with Bob Marley and Bunny Wailer, he was the one who basically taught them how to play instruments in the first place, because he was already pretty well adjusted to playing the guitar and even the keyboard. But Bob and Bunny were more of a on the path toward singing, and they weren't really experienced in the whole instrument. So if it wasn't for Peter Tosh, who he is basically known as today, he didn't change his name, but that's who he's known as an artist. So if it wasn't for Peter Tosh, I don't think Bob Marley and the Wailers would be as successful as they are, or as they were. And the cool thing about Peter Tosh is that he's a Rastafarian, just like Bob Marley and the Wailers. But he was considered, out of the whole band, that he was considered probably the most controversial member, because he was really devoted to speaking out about issues like anti-apartheid, legalizing marijuana, and promoting equal rights. And when I mean he was devoted, I basically mean he took his albums and his songs, and he pretty much, that was the main aspect of the theme of his projects. So he got a lot of not negative attention, but later on in his career, when he was signed with, I think it was IBE, one of the record labels he was signed with, he felt like he was not allowed to speak out as much as he could, and he didn't get as much promotion as he thought he would, even though he was very popular among his fans and the public. So he dealt with a lot of struggle between record companies, just because he was so devoted to speaking out and speaking the truth about what he thought was true, you know. So it's people like him who really show us that there is a problem in mainstream music, and the problem lies with censorship and trying to control music. And that just makes me sick, because music shouldn't be controlled. It should be free, and it really should be open to interpretation. Well, anyways, his career ended pretty short. He recorded 7 studio albums up until he was murdered in 1987 during an attempted burglary in his home in Jamaica, and he was 42 years old. But the legacy that he left behind was really amazing. In that time, 11 compilation albums were produced in his name, and a lot of songs that weren't recorded on his albums were featured. And also, a lot of the songs and messages of his music really speak to the issues and politics of today. So the fact that it lives on even after the 70s and 80s is pretty amazing. So the song that I want to end my show with today is off of his second studio album, which is called Equal Rights, and which was released in 1977. The song that I want to play for you guys is called I Am That I Am, and pretty much it's basically a song about equality and respect for every individual, and it focuses on him personally and his perspective on what it's like to treat other people. And I just think it's a great song to end it with, because I think it's a happy song, but it revolves around love. So the song's called I Am That I Am, and this is by Peter Tosh on the one and only Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Sit back, relax, and let the good vibes flow. Here it goes.
To live up to your expectations, neither are you here to live up to mine. Yeah, I don't owe no one, no obligation, no one owe me none, so everything is fine. I said I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am. Don't underestimate my ability. Don't definitely my character. Don't believe tears. I said I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I said I am. I said I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am the rock of ages, you cannot move I at all. I am the son of lightning, you cannot move.
And we're back. You're listening to the one and only Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I really hope you guys enjoyed that, because Peter Tosh is a legend, and I think he basically helped make Bob Marley and the Wailers the band that they are and the band that they were and became to be. And not just because he was such a good musician, but because he brought that kind of energy and that kind of fire that a lot of musicians that are more, that play more of an activist role and who like to speak out for those without a voice. He basically gives other musicians inspiration to write music like that. And it really is kind of like a chain link fence, or chain reaction. Everything's connected from, you know, one source, or one movement, one person can really make an effect. And I think Peter Tosh is a great example of one of those people. Well, that kind of basically concludes my show. I hope you guys enjoyed the three artists, KRS-One, Sublime, and Peter Tosh, to end it. I like to put everyone in a good mood and send people off with a good vibe before I end my show, so I thought that was an appropriate song to do that for, and I think Sublime also had some mellow songs with them too, but obviously KRS-One really brought the heat and the fire to the emotion and the energy of the show to start it off with. And before I conclude my show, just want to have a little bit of time to kind of sponsor some Dominican University events that are going to be held. Actually, there's one this Saturday. I was going to talk about one that was actually last night, and it was a politics of artistic expression. A co-founder of Deaf Poetry Jam, Bruce George, gave a speech, and I wasn't able to make it, but that was sponsored by the Black Student Union here at Dominican University. And for any students or anybody who's listening who lives close to campus, I recommend that everyone comes out to the Rasta Jam on Saturday, March 22nd at 9 p.m. in the Conlon Gym, where a lot of other Bay Area college and university students from BSU, the BSU group, will also attend. So I think a Rasta Jam is going to be pretty cool. Just have people play and jam to some good Rasta vibes and maybe start off the weekend with something interesting, maybe something you guys have never been to before. So I think I'm going to try to make it out there if I can, and hopefully I'll see you there. But with that, that concludes my show for the day. You guys just heard the sound of the underground. I'm your host, DJ Proof, bringing you the truth from the booth every Thursdays, 4 to 5 p.m. And with that, I wish you all a lovely end to Thursday afternoon, and I hope everyone has a great weekend. I will see you next week. You're listening to the one and only Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Take care, folks.